Hey everybody, Cody Strait here, and welcome to this episode 10 of The Updraft. And in this episode, Davin asks me for my recommendation for books that everybody should read if they want to become high performers. And I love reading books. They have so much great information, and there's a lot of really good ones and a lot of really bad ones, and then there's some really, really great ones. So we're going to be covering the great books here that every high performer, or at least person who wants to become a high performer, should be reading. Let's get into it.
Oh, Cody Strait, welcome back to the updraft, buddy.
I appreciate that. That sigh made me feel as though that you're super excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, I am excited to be here. You know, like we talked about this on the last episode. You know, I'm a little bit slowed down by by some of the pain meds that they've got me on for this back surgery. So, you know, it's a bit. Cody made a joke that it's like you could throw a baseball at my head and it would hit me in the forehead, and I would clap about 3 seconds later and attempt to stop it. So. It wasn't a bad sigh. It was a sigh like, you know, I just want to lay down in a puddle and go to sleep.
Yeah, those pain meds are full on kicking in. And again, guys, if this is the first one you're listening to, Davin had some not insignificant back surgery, and the doctors gave him quite a bit of cocktail of medications to help ease the pain physically. Is it doing anything for you emotionally, or is that pain still there in full force?
Cody, that's why they make alcohol.
No, that's why they make good friends like me.
To drink alcohol with.
Yes. Good point. <Yeah. laughs> Yes, indeed. All right. So with that being said, man, hey, the updraft, let's do this thing. We just, on the last episode, I presented you with the topic, and now it's your turn to pitch one over to me. What you got for me today?
All right, man. You know, I'm kind of on this kick a little bit lately, and I think you know this about lists.
Lists.
You know, about the top three of certain topics, right? And this one came top of mind because, you know, Cody, you talk a lot about reading. You're an avid reader, and by reader, I mean audible listener. Right. And a quick story for Cody, or for the audience about Cody. Gosh, what was it? It was about a year ago. I went and visited you when you were up in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. You know, before Cody moved to Colorado, he was living up in New Hampshire. And we were coming up, I think it was to discuss your marketing budget for 2019 or 2020, I think is what it was, right?
Right.
You know, and Cody never really been through this budgeting process. So like, you know, we earmarked a couple of days to walk through, you know, how to budget for marketing and then, you know, what various buckets we were gonna fill up for the year. And he was going through, and this may be a book that you talk about here in a little bit, but it was the Story Brand.
Right.
Donald Miller Story Brand, mm-hmm. Right? And so we jump into Tacoma, and I think we were going to get lunch, and you know, on comes this this audible, but it's I think it was at 3x speed.
No, I think it was only like 2.5.
Right, and it was like the what were those little cars? Micro machines,
totally. Child of the
80s. And you remember the guy that did the commercials talking about micro machines and how he talked just ridiculously fast. Mm-hmm. I think he was a character from WWF. That's what it sounded like to me. And how you were picking up nuggets of information from the Story Brand at 3x speed today still blows my mind because it gave me anxiety to listen to it.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It's like you hopped into my truck, closed the door, my phone connects to my Bluetooth, and it just starts to play automatically. And it's like, hey, everybody, welcome to the Story Brand. Here we go. It's like you just stepped from like a nice calm environment into like an auctioneer house. And it's like, this is too much. This is way too much.
Yeah. I think I jumped a little bit. Like, what the hell is going on, man? And then we had a good chuckle about it. But, you know, I say all that to say that Cody is a very avid reader. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, we've talked about books in the past and about how, you know, you got your straight path in life, and too often people read books and it allows them to divert course and they find themselves kind of zigzagging back and forth on their philosophy or their core values or their tenets that make them who they mm-hmm. are. You know, but books, if you're doing it the right way, it's just one more, you know, piece for your toolkit.
Correct.
It doesn't change your course. A lot of times it's going to galvanize it. It's going to strengthen your course. It's going to help you set your guardrails even tighter. If again, you glean those nuggets of information from it. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Absolutely.
Okay. So what I want to dive into is, you know, I know you've got quite an extensive collection, is your most influential books. And I'm going to leave this open personally, professionally. I want to know, you know, we'll just start on the list. And if we make it through three, we make it through three. If we do four, we do four, whatever. But I want to walk down your list of books, and I want you to give a quick synopsis and why you think that they're so important.
All right. I can definitely.
I love putting you on the spot like this.
I know. It's so much fun. It's really, really wonderful. So I pulled up my Audible, and I was just having a look in that. this almost feels like, you know, those like Oscar speeches or Emmy speeches. They're like, oh, I have so many people I want to thank. And then they're like, oh, if I forgot you, I'm so sorry. Like, this is the same. I feel like that feeling right now. I want to say, there's so many books I want to thank for bringing me here to where I sit today. And there's a lot of you that I won't even get to mention. Like, that's because there's so many that are just super duper good. So yeah, Devin, I can do that. Now I've got my Audible up here. You mind manning the timer on this thing?
Let me. All right, we're good. Let's go.
Okay, so there's a few things here that I really want to get at. So first and foremost, the book that I think for me has been tremendously influential is, and this is professionally and this is personally, is Brandon Bouchard's High Performance Habits. Okay.
Okay.
That is an extremely good book that will help you in all sectors of your life. Okay. And what I really appreciate about this is, you know, I've read multiple books from Grant Cardone, and you know, like he's in which you, like, you're shaking your head right now, because who do you dislike more, Grant Cardone or Toby Keith? Or is the answer, you know what, they're the same person? What if they are the same person?
They're basically cut from the same cloth. Like, Grant Cardone drives me nuts. I think that there's no substance to what it is that he says. He just says, do everything in life at 10X. And if you do it at 10X, then you're going to be, you know, a multimillionaire. And I think that that's just shallow, baseless bullshit.
Right, right. And so looking at the book like Brandon Bouchard is basically, it's, hey, you know what? We only have so much time. We only have so much effort. We only have so much energy. Here's how the people that are the highest performers, here's how they do it. Okay. Systematically, here's how they think, here's how they approach life, and here's how they deal with adversity. You know, all of those things. Like that book, I think if you're looking for one, and especially if you're early in your professional career or you're just trying to get better, that is a foundational book that I've gone through and probably read/listened to it 5 times at different points. Okay. So I just keep going back to it. And every time I go through it again, it's like I get another nugget or I just get something else from it. Right. Which to your point earlier, you know, if I can get one thing from a book, just like one thing, then it's a success. That's it. Right. And so reading through the High Performance Habits, knowing how, like, the highest performers approach life, how they think about life, what their mindset is like, and how they spend their time, it is a really, really good read. So I would highly recommend that one. That was just, again, so good. But the next thing that you mentioned just a second ago, story brand. I love story brand, building a story brand, Donald Miller. I actually had a chance to go and to one of the workshops, I guess, not a conference, workshop. And so I was able to meet the guy and chat with him a little bit too. And, you know, he's so good. And the book is one thing, but seeing him in person and having people pitch like what their company does and try to explain it, he's able to then take what they do and say, well, here's how you should say it. And he does it just absolutely on the fly. Like, he's really, really, really good at this. But here's the whole thing with story brand is it is taking, sales and marketing. And it's basically saying, if you're trying to communicate what your company does to a prospective audience, are you doing it right? And what Donald Miller did is he was able to say, for the most part, companies are doing it wrong. You're just not doing it right. And the foundational principle here is that, number one, humans understand story. They relate to story. Story is a way to communicate effectively. I mean, really, it's inscribed in our DNA at a social emotional level, right? And so story is a way to communicate with people. And story, if you look at the best stories, are formulaic, right? And at the very beginning of this is there is a hero and there is an adversary, right? And there's something that's standing in the way of what the hero wants. The hero's got a problem. There's all this different stuff here. But bringing it back over to the context of business, you know, business, marketing, and sales, all too often the companies put themselves as the hero when in fact they're not. You're not the hero. It is your customer that is the hero. Your role is the guide. So that very simple principle right there helped me so much professionally, but it also carried over personally, right? If I want to, if whenever you're trying to sell, whenever you're trying to market, you're trying to exert influence on people, right? And we don't just limit that to our professional lives. We bring that over to our personal lives as well. And so, you know, in our personal lives, we're trying to, grow influence and exert some influence at times. And understanding that you, not just me as a company, but me as a person, I'm not the hero. Whoever it is that I'm talking with, they're the hero. I'm the guide. I'm interested in them. I want to know what their problem is. And if I've been there before, then I can help guide them through a process to help them get what they want and overcome their obstacles. And that, as we talked about in the last podcast, reaps tremendous benefits in the way of social and political capital, right? Without question, it does. So understanding that you're not the hero, understanding that your customer or whoever it is, your friend, that they're the hero, is so, so extremely good. And again, the fact is it's formulaic, right? There's a customer, they've got a problem. They want to solve that problem. They don't know how. There's something standing in their way, and understanding that they need a guide. You're that guide. You can give them not just the solutions, but you can meet them with empathy. You get where they're coming from. You can present them to the solutions, and you give them a plan, and you help them achieve success, and you help them avoid failure. It's all so good. So I would highly, highly recommend that one. Anything, any comments you've got so far?
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to lean into this, especially the Donald Miller one, because, you know, books are nothing if they're not actionable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. You know, I get a lot of it. It's conceptual, but, you know, especially the Story Brand is a very actionable book, right? It's very action oriented. And this is really intriguing for me to hear you talk about, because I watched you revolutionized the marketing function within our organization, predicated around Donald Miller's Story Brand.
Correct.
Right. So, you know, talk about that a little bit and about how you brought that over to the company that we both work in, and how you brought that into fruition.
Well, great. I'm happy to do that. And so here's what's really cool about this is you asked me about this from the context of marketing. And what I would say is that, yes, that is like, that's my role. I'm the VP of marketing, right? And I brought it over for us to work with on the marketing side, but we didn't just bring it over in that particular silo, right?
Right.
Because what this is our company. Our company is not the hero. Our company, we are the guide. Our customer is the hero. So what we did is we carried that concept over to everywhere throughout our company, right? We brought it not only to marketing, we brought it to sales, we brought it to support, we brought it to services. And so with everybody having that same perspective, we're not the hero. The customer's the hero, we're the guide. We're here to help them, greet them with empathy, understand that they have a problem, and help them solve their problem, right? That's what we're trying to do here. So bringing this over specifically into the sales and marketing side of things, what was so good about that is we were able to start this Story Brand approach in the marketing side. When I say marketing, I'm talking about our website. I'm talking about the way we reach out to customers. And that manner of putting the hero cape on the customer, it continued then into the sales process. So whenever people started interacting with the sales reps understood the formulaic process of story and were able to apply that during a presentation or a phone call with that customer to help guide them along the way. So whenever we brought this over here to Access, we started with our website and we started with trying to meet our customers where they were with empathy, understanding that they've got problems relative to physical things. Like I have, this problem's costing me time. It's costing me money. Problems relative to intangible things, such as it's really frustrating because I feel sad when. And then the final thing here, the philosophical, like my problem is just not right because of the following reason, you know, it's just wrong because of the following reason. So we plug that into our web pages. So it's the first thing that the customers would show up whenever they show up to our website is like, we're hitting them with their problem first thing. Okay. It's not about how great we are. It's about, you know, our company Access, we get rid of paper, right? We have electronic forms. So whenever somebody comes to our website, the first thing that they see is, hey, paper sucks. We get it. Paper costs you time. Paper costs you money. It's really frustrating to have to deal with paper when it gets lost and your patients don't like it because we're healthcare. That's the kind of stuff that we incorporate, right? And so that was the very first thing that people see when they get to our website. And then we build our website in that formulaic way. And when somebody that gets onto the sales side, it's the same treatment with the hero cape on them. And because of that, we've become much more effective at selling and at marketing. But here's what's really great about it. It's not just a matter of like us increasing our bottom line. Our CEO might differ from that to a degree because it's, what's really cool about this, at the end of the customer engagement on the sales and marketing side of things, they're freaking thrilled because they're like, this person got me. They understood me and they were able to relate to me and give me exactly what I wanted in every possible way. And empathy was there the entire time. So that's been tremendously right. beneficial.
Well, and it was such an interesting time, Cody, because that was about the time that I was coming in, you know, I had a very, you know, value versus price, mm-hmm. you know, kind of philosophical shift in the way that we priced and sold and supported inside of the organization. But, you know, that book and my mindset and your mindset kind of combined created a cultural shift inside of the company, you know, and, right. and that's the value of a foundational book like this is if you apply it correctly, I mean, it changed the way, not that we just sold and marketed, but it changed the way that we supported customers.
Right.
It changed the way that we thought about our customers.
Exactly.
It changed the way that we priced our solution and how we positioned ourselves inside of the marketplace.
Right, because we increased our prices. As a result, mm-hmm. I mean, for there's a variety of factors there, but we increased our prices and, you know, we felt more confident, especially on the sales side, to be able to go to the customer and say, we are more expensive than our competition, but here's the reasons why. We're not charging you more just because we can. You know, the value that we're providing is absolutely commensurate with the price, and we're going to explain exactly why, and we're going to relate that to your problems, right? So like you said, it was really a tremendous cultural shift here. All right, you got the time check off for me real quick. Where?
Time check on this. We are 11 minutes
okay,
in.
Okay, great. So I still
got 9 minutes left.
All right, so I've got some more to go through here. So what I want to get at next is the two books on negotiation, okay? So one of them is and this is the one that I read first, Getting More by Stuart Diamond. And then the next one, I mean, I'm going to alley-oop it right to you.
Never Split the Difference.
Mm-hmm. By?
By Chris Voss.
By Chris Voss.
By the Chris
by
Voss.
By the Chris Voss, who you've met before. Actually, you went to one of those workshops and I think you got on stage. And
I did.
Yes, so we'll
just got my ass handed.
Right, right. So here's the thing with the with these two books, you know, Stuart Diamond, I think he's a professor of business over at the Wharton School. I mean, obviously a super smart dude. And that was one of my first really good books on negotiation. It wasn't about making these big, huge, broad sweeping things where you're going to take everything. The book is not called Take Everything. The book is called Getting More. So basically it's about how is it you can just get more in all these different negotiations. And he provides very good, as you put it just a bit ago, actionable tactics. Now, with that being said, I think that's a good book and I think people should read it, but don't even open that cover. Sorry, Stuart. Don't even open up that cover until you get to Chris Voss's Never Split the Difference. And Davin, did I bring this book to your attention or was it already on your radar?
It was Tim and whoever came up with it before, I don't know, but it was Tim gave it to me actually a couple months before I started
okay.
at Access.
So I gave it over to Tim. And so okay. the Never Split the Difference. I'm going to talk about the principle of the book here in a second, but Davin, I want to actually kick, and I know this is more my thing here right. where I'm talking about this stuff, but I want to kick this over to you because you've got more depth on this here as to why this is so valuable. But this book, to me, it changed my life without question. Mm-hmm. And so the principle of the book, Chris Voss, FBI hostage negotiator, okay? And whenever you think about negotiations in a traditional sense, especially if you look at things like buying a car or real estate, right? So let's say you want to buy something and it's $100,000 and you say, hey, I'll give you $50,000 for it. And they say, would you take 80? No, I'll do 60. And then ultimately with this iterative process, you end up literally splitting the difference. Okay. Now, Davin, can you do that? Could Chris Voss do that in hostage negotiation?
No.
Hey, I've got 10 hostages, Davin. I'm gonna kill all of them. What would you say?
No, let's go ahead and not kill any of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and. But I'll tell you what, I'll kill five. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna work for me.
Yeah. So the point is, with Hasha's negotiation, Chris Voss couldn't split the difference. He couldn't say, I tell you what, I'll take seven people, kill three.
Yeah.
Right? Couldn't do that. So having those principles that he learned through FBI hostage negotiation, bringing that to bear in really any situation that involves negotiation, it was so incredible. Davin, if you would, please talk about a couple of the principles within that book that are, like you said, actionable, that have made such a big difference in your life and the life of our company.
Well, I think negotiation has such a negative connotation to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, we think in a boardroom, suit versus suit, you know, there's yelling, there's haggling, there's, you know, storming out of the room. It's tense, it's stressful. But in reality, we go through, and I think Chris Voss says the average person goes through about 75 negotiations on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Right. Be it with your wife about where you want to go for dinner, or your kids about their bedtime, or, you know, at work about a salary, a compensation negotiation, right? There are so many interactions that we have daily that really boil down to true negotiation.
Right.
You know, and really one of the core philosophies of that is the ability to extract information and then believe that there's some level of reciprocity to that. And if you do things like mirroring or labeling emotions, there are a couple of really simple tactics that you can do to glean an incredible amount of information. Because again, the whole foundation of an accurate negotiation is who collects the most information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whoever has the most information is generally gonna win. Mm-hmm. Right. And we'll call it win. You know, and there are things that you can do like mirroring.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, it's simply stated, it's picking the key, you know, three to five words, or maybe even a single word within that sentence that your counterpart told you, and repeating it back to them in an upward or downward inflecting voice, depending on what it is that you're trying to do.
Right.
And basically what that prompts people to do is to continue to expand on what it is that they told you.
Right.
And you can just, you know, at the seminar, Cody, we went through this exercise and all we were able to do was use mirrors and labels.
Right.
And you would be surprised the amount of information that you were able to get. You know, the guy that I was working with, it started in what he did for a living. And then I was able to find out that the ages and the names of his kids, mm-hmm. and why he's a father and why he became a real estate agent in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other part of that is labeling of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, label what it is. It seems like, it sounds like, it feels like, you're removing the personal pronoun from it, not saying you're frustrated, you're mad, you know, label, you know, if you label it in a manner that takes that allows you to detach the emotion from it, mm-hmm. they're going to do one or two things. They're either going to confirm it. Hey, you know, Cody, you seem frustrated. Yeah, Davin, I am frustrated. And then they're going to lead into why mm-hmm. they feel frustrated, or just as effective as a false label.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cody, you seem really frustrated. One of the things that humans love to do the most, it's like this euphoric release, is to correct other people.
Right.
We love
right.
it. Cody, you seem frustrated. Well, Davin, actually, I'm not frustrated. It's this.
Right.
And then they've given you a black swan. They've given you an unknown unknown at that point. And then you're able to mirror, well, it's, you know, Davin, I'm not frustrated. It's just, you know, it centers around the price.
Right.
The price. Boom. And now you're extracting information. And the coolest thing about doing that is that you're able to, they feel heard, they feel understood, they feel as though you're giving them a level of reciprocity. But if you do it the right way, you've given them nothing.
Right.
They know nothing about you. They know nothing about your stance. They know nothing about your position or your desired end state. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you've got this entire bucket of useful, meaningful information from your counterpart mm-hmm. that you can then leverage for when it comes to your ask. So those are, for me, I think mirrors and labels, if you get nothing else from that book, learning to do that successfully, it'll make you a better businessman. It'll make you a better, you'll get upgrades at hotels.
Right.
It'll make you a better father. It'll make you a better person in general.
I use those same, I don't want to call them tactics. I mean, principles, whatever you want to call it, like with my kids, with my spouse, not to exert my will or get my way, but to also better understand like what their position is. And if the more understanding you have, the more knowledge you have, the better your position to be able to negotiate. Right. And so I think that mm-hmm. that's, so If you have not yet read that book, Never Split the Difference, go read it. Like Davin said, it makes you better in every way. If you know of somebody that's graduating high school, graduating college, get them that book, and the world is that kid's oyster. That is for sure.
Listen to that, and listen to it on a regular basis. It's always on my Audible, and especially if I'm tuning up for a negotiation for the company, or even if I'm going on vacation, I want to try and get an upgrade at a hotel. Yeah. I go back and listen to the chapters because it keeps you finely tuned for negotiations. And honestly, Cody spoke to it. It's a kind of book that'll change your life. It really will change the way that you view negotiations. It'll change the way that you view human to human interaction. It's a special, special book.
Right. Yeah, it is without question. And again, professionally and personally, both of those things. All right. Time check again.
We are at 25:25, so we got to get this thing wrapped up, Cody. So the three books that I heard you say is High Performance Habits by Brandon Bouchard. Mm-hmm. Fantastic book. Read that one as well. Story Brand by Donald Miller. Change the way that we viewed things inside of our organization. There's actually four. And then Getting More, and that was Stuart Diamond. Mm-hmm. And then I think the one that hits the nail on the head the most is Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss.
Yeah, those are extremely good books. With Stuart Diamond, I would say getting the honorable mention, right? So that's the gold, silver, bronze if we're going to go Olympic medal style. And I know we got to wrap this up, which is basically, again, like I talked about, like the Oscar, the Emmy thing here. Like, this is the music playing me off here. So Nonviolent Communication, Marshall Rosenberg, read that one. Pair it with Thanks for the Feedback by Douglas Stone and Sheila Heen. Read Blue Ocean Strategies. I mean, there's so many here that we could list. We'll drop some in the comments as well that are more honorable mentions. But I love it, guys. Read books, get better. And as Davin, as you said, every single one of these things adds knowledge and wisdom in your life that you then get to continue to grow and then exert, influence more people for the greater good. So appreciate this, man. Thank you for this topic.
I love it, man. And, for our listeners, of course, drop us a comment, let us know what books you're reading. If you've read Never Split the Difference or any one of these, drop a comment, look us up on Instagram, on Facebook. Again, we love the interaction. We love to go back and forth. So, Cody, I think this is a good one, man. I think it's time to wrap this bad boy up.
I know, but I don't want to. I want to keep going talking about more books. So we need to have maybe like a part two to this thing later on. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, not going to do it.
All right, man. All right. Well, thanks.
Better luck next time. All right, buddy. Thanks, yeah. Cody.